Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 24. We read this a few weeks ago as we're going through the book of Acts. This is what it says. Paul says, when they arrived, he came to them. He says, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of the Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So here's what's happening today. It's November 1st. I know, where did October go, right? Time just keeps going by faster and faster. But last year we began what we hope to be a pattern that continues every year in the month of November, and that is a missions emphasis month. For some of us, we may not know the roots that the Alliance comes out of, and today is your day to find out more about that. What we have is, if you recall, it was a week and a half ago, we had an opportunity that the Alliance had put together a live stream. And if you're not aware, we're part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. It's our denomination. And they put together a live stream, and this live stream was called Unfinished. That's our theme for this year's missions emphasis. And so we're going to take some time throughout the month of November to bring in some emphasis on missions, not just globally, but that's a big part of it. You're going to hear a lot of that global piece today. You're going to hear some local stuff. But I just want us to understand, and this has been our philosophy and our belief throughout, we're all on the same mission. Many will go overseas, not necessarily from here. Some of you maybe will. Some of you have that are sitting in this room. We've had a number of missionaries over the years. Some of them are back with us. We have others that are overseas now. The point of it is we're taking the gospel of grace wherever we go. And for us in this community, a lot of it is going to be here in Little Falls, but we don't ever want to think that this is all that we have. And so you're really going to get a good taste, and our president, Stumbo, is going to be sharing a piece of it, and there's some other pastors in the Alliance. This is a live stream that was recorded, and now we're playing it back. So this live stream was recorded on October 23rd. If you are following with us online and your image is grainy, we're basically showing a live stream of a live stream. And so if you're having issues with that, if you back up and you look at the title page, the title slide of this segment, you'll see there's a link in there. Go to that website. It's the cmalliance.org. On their website, you can play what we're going to show, and it might be a little bit clearer for you, and you may find that the resolution looks fine as it is now. But we're going to replay the live stream. We're going to have an opportunity to share some things after that live stream, but what I really want people to hear and resonate with is the core of the Alliance. This church, this local church, has traditionally been mind-blowing for our size and the way that this church gives to missions. I have personally yet to see it be duplicated by any other church that I because I'm so humbled by it. But regularly, over $50,000 a year goes to Alliance missions just from this small church. That's incredible. And so I show this, we show this as elders, we decided this is what we wanted to do. We want you to resonate with what it is that drives us. And we can look at it and say, well, it's missions that drives us. That's not exactly true. This is a missions emphasis, but what drives us is the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of grace. And I want you to see, when we get passionate about this gospel of grace, we're willing to go anywhere and do whatever it takes to bring that gospel of grace to whoever has yet to hear the gospel of grace. So, as you watch the video, there's going to be opportunities to give. You can respond to how they invite you to give, which is actually online through the national office, that is okay. If you choose, like, no, you're gonna have opportunities throughout this month, all right? So don't think that this is your only chance. If you want to give here by marking on your check and what have you to the Great Commission Fund, you can do that as well. It's going to go to the same place. I just want you to understand when you see that plea for giving, that's a little bit more, there's opportunities. That's all I'm saying. So by all means, we want to respond to the invitation to give, but I want you to do it prayerfully. So if you need more time than just today, by all means, but I think you're really going to get a good pulse of what it is that the Alliance is passionate about. So are we good to go, gentlemen? All right, without further ado, we're going to fire it up and let you guys see and hear what our national office has to say in regards to Alliance missions.
Good evening, Christ Centered Acts 1-8 family. I'm so glad that you've joined us tonight. What a privilege to get to share this evening together. When one of our vice presidents, Tim Meyer, gave to me the idea about this evening, I was so excited. And now that the team has put this moment together for us, we are thrilled that you are joining us from couches and living rooms to recliners, from church sanctuaries to college dorms, all across the nation, the Alliance family. A few thousand of us are gathering together this evening, and we're very excited about it. We're calling it Unfinished, a night of mission and giving. We're excited because we are a family on mission. We're a frontline movement. God has called the Christian Missionary Alliance and empowered the Christian Missionary Alliance for 133 years to do incredible things across the world. We want to tell you some stories tonight. We want to look back at past. We want to talk about the present, look ahead to the future, and all along how you can be engaged in that. There is a question and answer tab that's available to you. We have a team that is available tonight to answer any questions you have. We'll get back as quickly as we can to you. There's also a chat tab if you want to interact with each other, but we want this night to be a night of engagement as we are truly profoundly grateful for what our great God has done, is doing, is going to continue to do among us. Let's pray. Lord, we dedicate these moments to you. A lot of work has gone into this. People have gathered from all over the nation. Now we just offer it up to you as a moment of time that we want you to bless. We want this to have impact in our souls. And so would you work through the technology and disperse this message across the nation and globe in ways that strengthen, encourage, challenge, and lift our hearts once again to a God who so loved this world that he gave his one and only son. So may we fully participate tonight and receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So to begin with, we're gonna take a look back. In 1957, Reader's Digest magazine said this: "The Alliance specializes in pioneering where no missionary has ever been." Well, 1954, we were in the Baling Valley with a mission reaching the remote Dani people. And our archives here in Colorado Springs has recently uncovered some never seen before 16 millimeter film. And I want to take you back to the 1950s.
About 80 years ago, there was a place so isolated from the outside world, the people who lived there had never seen a wheel, looked in a mirror, or held a metal object. Then, explorers discovered this secluded location, nestled in the remote central highlands of Papua, or Western New Guinea. It was home to a Stone Age tribe that practiced cannibalism and had worshipped spirits for centuries. After World War II ended, CNMA pioneers began plans to bring the gospel to these people whom time had forgotten. This is that story, and it's all been captured on never-before-seen 16mm film. In 1938, famed explorer Richard Archbold was the first Westerner to discover the Baleen Valley, what missionaries would one day call Shangri-La, home to 60,000 Dani people. Archbold published his report in a 1941 issue of National Geographic. The Dani had never had contact with the outside world. Yet with no exposure to 20th century implements, their ingenuity in crafting and wielding tools of stone, wood, and bone to create extensive gardens seen from the air was astonishing. When World War II ended, Alliance pioneers felt they could now begin writing an unfinished chapter in world missions by taking the good news to the remote Donnie, who had never had the opportunity to hear of Jesus' love for them. However, reaching the Donnie by land wasn't an option. Because their valley home was nearly impenetrable, surrounded by snow-capped mountain peaks and edged with thick jungles and swamps, Alliance missionaries determined the only way to reach them was by air. So began plans to buy a small amphibious plane that could land on the Balim River that runs along the valley floor. A plane was purchased in 1950, but suffered damages the following year. Finally, in November 1953, a short Sealand amphibious aircraft was purchased in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where it was dedicated and named the Gospel Messenger. After years of planning and many steps of preparation, the historic day for entering the Balim Valley arrived on April 20th, 1954. Al Lewis and Ed Ulrich piloted the plane, carrying five passengers, including missionaries Einar Michelson and Lloyd Van Stone. Also aboard was a newly converted May couple, Elisa, Ruth, and their baby, Dorcas, whose tribe lived west of the Balim River. Their presence was hoped to communicate to the Donnie that this wasn't a war party. Lloyd and his wife, Doris, along with their team members, had taken up the torch Joffrey laid down with his death during the war. A passion to reach the Donnie with the gospel. Doris describes the anticipation of that first trip.
Lowell Thomas said it was one of the most thrilling stories of modern missions in the 20th century. Not one single person had ever heard the name of Jesus.
Before taking off, Einar said, "I don't know how we'll be received, but there's no turning back now." Lloyd grinned and quoted an armed forces motto, "We have to go in. We don't have to come back." The crew safely landed the plane on the river that day before setting up camp.
They set up a little tiny green tent, and there were two men against all of the valley out to tell men and women who Jesus was.
On the second day, as the party was paddling their rubber boat across the river to higher ground, seven Donnie men approached them, led by the chief shouting loudly.
And they got over there and they grabbed a hold of their arms and went, like this, and pushed them too.
Einar recognized this as the ceremony of welcome among other New Guinean tribes. He approached the chief, along with several others in the party, repeating the greeting before extending his hand. At that point, the Donnie leader threw his arms around the missionary and broke into tears. The rest of the men lowered their spears. Tribal leaders then invited the newcomers to attend a special welcome feast of roasted pig and sweet potatoes. After their first encounters with the Donnie, one of the Alliance pioneers later wrote, "So, realizing the slow, hard work ahead in months and even years to come, these missionary heroes of the cross know that only the first chapter of their story has been written." Thank you. This is Buzz Maxi, an international worker who is currently serving in Papua, Indonesia, with the Alliance through Kama Services. He is also the son of Kama workers from back in the 1950s. What you are watching right now is current-day footage of an interview he had with the Dani of the Bulim Valley after watching the historic footage of the Alliance's first efforts in the Bulim Valley.
So we, the people of Papua, have a deep appreciation for those that brought the gospel to us, and we express to you thank you for your support in sending the missionaries to our valley. We're happy when we see what the arrival of the missionaries and that our parents and grandparents received them. Yeah. In those days, they said, little girls would have their fingers chopped off to appease the ancestral spirits, but the gospel came, and now those kinds of things aren't done anymore, which we are so thankful for. Between every clan and tribe, there was conflict going on. But they came and they brought peace to us, especially to the people of Papua. They brought a unity. Our parents have now gone. And now we're the ones that are here in this land of Indonesia. There is a lot of anarchy here, and we really do have a need for people to come and help us figure out all of the issues that we're dealing with. I am in awe because when those missionaries came, they came into my village as well. But there are areas still that are unreached with the gospel. That's why we feel like there should be more people that would come and help us in evangelism and discipleship ministries. This is Opi. He says, I got one more thing to say. I say thank you to the missionaries that came here to us. We were in living in darkness, but now we are living in the light. My hope is, and my request is, that you continue to pray for us. And I would just like to say, as I have been here with three generations, really, or maybe four, of people here from the Bulim Valley, as they have watched the video of the sacrifices that were made, I told them the stories of how people gave to buy the gospel messenger, sacrificing from the Netherlands to Canada to the United States to send out missionaries to bring the gospel to these people. Now here in Papua, we're experiencing lots of different types of challenges. We have an AIDS epidemic that is killing many of the young people. But one of the things that's exciting me now is really looking at the unfinished task. Just this last week, there was somebody from the Dani tribe that is being commissioned to go as a missionary to people that are of another religion and another culture here on the island. They're bringing in migrants, and it's exciting to see that the descendants of those who received those first missionaries in April 20th, 1954 are now doing what they have been commissioned to do by our Lord Jesus Christ, to go out and reach those so that the Great Commission, the unfinished task, can be accomplished. Thank you, too, for all of you who have given, you've prayed, you've been a part of it. God's peace be upon you.
All of Jesus.
all of Jesus to all the world. That really is what the Alliance is about, isn't it? Believing that our saving, sanctifying, healing, coming again Christ is one that we want every person on the planet to get to have opportunity to know and to love and to enter into his kingdom. So proud of our team to compose and produce that song that takes us back to what we've been doing for decades, the story of the Donnies being reached and now the ongoing story of the church there. You see, today, 82% of our Alliance workers that you and I are supporting are still in those places of the world that are still to be reached, the least reached places of the world. They may not be living in quite such a remote setting as the Donnies, but they're just as distanced today from the love and hope of the gospel if the gospel hasn't yet come to them. And so we're bringing the message of Jesus where his name and love is not yet known, and you're part of that. Thank you. Fulfilling Jesus' 2,000-year command for us to do just that. And so the people that we're reaching today are, in a sense, the next Donnies, right? That eventually they will come to know and love our Christ and embrace his word and be proclaimers of his word to others. We want to tell you some of those stories right now, that in the midst of COVID-19, this once-in-a-generation opportunity for us to bring the gospel in a new era of openness to the gospel, we have frontline workers on location who are going to share with what's happening right now in their ministry settings.
Hello, my name is Josh Blanchard.
We're Bob and Cheryl Fugate.
Nathan Conklin.
Dan and Miriam.
Ministering together in the beautiful city of Guadalajara, Mexico.
Taipei, Taiwan.
Beirut, Lebanon.
Phnom Penh, Cambodia. My wife and I moved to Cambodia 4.5 years ago to use the talents that God has given us to fight against child sex trafficking in the name of Jesus. And in our time here, we have learned that the most important way that we can contribute in the fight against this injustice is through the prevention of trafficking. God has gifted us with the ability to tell stories through video, through photography, through music. And so our heart is to train and empower and disciple young Cambodian Christian creatives to be able to use media in order to transform this nation through the abolition of trafficking as well as through the promotion of the kingdom of God. Over the last year, we have been working to build a media production company to do just that. There are times where we think we are being quite foolish, building a business in the midst of a pandemic. And yet, we have all across the world been realizing the importance and the power of technology, of media, of film, of video, to be able to connect with others. And so God has been confirming time and again that he has been preparing this ministry for such a time as this. We praise God that COVID-19 hasn't been the health crisis here in Cambodia that it has in other countries. And yet, Cambodia has not been spared the economic destruction. We have seen thousands and thousands of people losing their jobs and their livelihoods because of the tourism and the garment industry coming to a screeching halt. With greater physical and economic need comes a higher risk of children being sold for sex. We feel this greater sense of urgency to launch this initiative as quickly as possible so that we can prevent trafficking here in Cambodia. And so, we've been hiring, beginning the process of training and empowering Cambodians. We are really excited about the opportunities ahead. But we are so overwhelmed and grateful for our Alliance family. It is you who keep us here on the field through your faithful giving, through your prayer, and through your partnership. And we are so excited to share with you what is coming here in Cambodia in the days ahead.
Many will remember the year 2020 as the year of the global pandemic. But for those of us in Guadalajara, Mexico, we will remember 2020 as the year of open doors. Open doors into ministry in the area we know as the Circle of Silence. And our prayer of faith that we ask you to join with us this year is, Lord, open the doors, and by faith we'll enter in.
Now, the Circle of Silence is a region in central Mexico comprised of about 19 million people and two indigenous tribes with the least access to the gospel in the Western Hemisphere. we in Guadalajara are strategically placed at the epicenter of this region to be able to reach into that circle of silence and penetrate that dark area with our message of hope and light.
We've asked the Lord to enable us to plant 10 churches in 10 years. Our prayer is, Lord, open doors, even in a pandemic.
God has opened hearts, hearts like in Lalo and Sarah. They felt the call of God on their life, but just life interfered. God worked on their hearts during the pandemic, and they realized we will not experience God's blessing on our life until we are obedient to His call. They said, we feel the need to go full time. So in the midst of this pandemic, he left his computer job. On July 1st, he became our first full-time national pastor, taking over the work ministering in Guadalajara.
Through a ministry of the local church and thanks to the support of Common Services and Alliance World Fellowship, our women's missionary church were able to provide 5,000 people with food for 7 to 10 days. Over 1,200 food bags were put together with Bibles, with biblical literature, with a plan of salvation, and accompanied often by prayer for these families in need. We thank you for that wonderful support and urge to continue as the economy in Mexico has been crushed by this pandemic.
A group asked us from a neighboring state, about 3 hours from Guadalajara, to come up. They have a small group of 12 people, and they're asking us, can you help us plant a church? We drove up there. We met with them. They meet in a small outdoor patio. But how can we not respond to their call? They are asking us for help to reach their city.
This state where we went is listed statistically as the most violent state in the country, Mexico. The people are desperate, and they're seeking the Lord with open hearts. It's unfinished work.
We are church planters because we believe that the most important thing we can leave a community is to build the church, a physical one and a spiritual one also. We have seen that the church will remain and outlast the COVID-19 virus. And when all the missionaries have gone home, the people that we have poured our life into will remain. The disciples we've mentored, the children we've sang along with Sunday school, they are the church. They are the church that will remain being light and hope in a dark world.
Join us in this unfinished task, this great call to the circle of silence. 7 more church plants, needy communities, people with open hearts for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayer, and thank you for sending us.
During this COVID-19 pandemic, Taiwanese, like most other countries, have been experiencing increased isolation and separateness. This is felt even more acutely here in Taiwan because it's an island in the Pacific. There's really no international travel. Flights have been really cut back. Many Taiwanese have had to return to Taiwan from their jobs or studies. Some Taiwanese that I know are working on their university degree or working for companies abroad in Taiwan, but on that time schedule. One of my friends gets up at 2 or 3 a.m. in order to log into his courses. So because of this, Taiwanese are experiencing increasing amounts of separation and isolation.
We as Alliance workers get to be present. People come to our cafe and to our church services looking for relationships. People who were studying or are looking forward to studying abroad can come to our Friday night coffee talk in order to practice their English and prepare for studying abroad in the future. We get to show people that isolation is difficult, yes, but God is with us. And He gives us purpose even in the midst of a global pandemic. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your prayers. This is a moment for us as the Alliance family to continue reaching out.
On August 4th, an explosion occurred in Beirut, Lebanon. The blast was one of the largest non-nuclear explosions in history. It cratered the port and destroyed homes, damaging buildings for miles around. Tragically, over 200 people died, with thousands more injured, and countless families displaced from their homes. Coupled with an historic economic and governmental crisis, and feeling the impact of the global pandemic, the Lebanese people and the Syrian refugee population that resides here are suffering like never before. The UN estimates that half the population of Lebanon will lack basic access to food by the end of the year. And yet, in the wake of the devastating blast, the Alliance National Church and the Christian Alliance Institute of Theology stand, offering hope to a hurting nation. By God's grace, the Alliance facilities located less than a mile from the port are already under repair and being used for relief efforts. Kama Services, through your generous giving, has raised over $100,000 to aid in this work. Some of these donations have been used to repair over 100 homes in some of the most impacted and devastated areas. The National Church has received approval from the Lebanese government to oversee the relief and development of an entire segment of the city. We've seen visitation teams formed. We've seen families cared for and prayed for. And we are seeing inroads to the gospel now being laid in under-accessed communities. There are hard stories. Families who have lost loved ones. Parents struggling to feed their children. But there are joyful moments. As people pray together. As people pray maybe for the first time. And as some hear and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Alliance work in Beirut is very much unfinished.
Our work in Guadalajara is unfinished.
Our work in Cambodia is unfinished.
The work in Taiwan is unfinished.
And so we ask, will you join us?
Alliance family, aren't you glad that we're in places like Beirut, Lebanon, Guadalajara, Mexico, Taipei, Taiwan? Aren't you glad that for 133 years, Alliance people have been faithful to send and to go, to pray, to partner, to encourage? Aren't you glad that we get to be part of this 2,000-year story of a God who, as I said earlier, so loved this world that he gave? But the task remains unfinished. We know that. And so we persevere. We press on. IWs who are there on location at this time, bringing the love of Jesus during COVID-19, bless you. Thank you. We support you. We celebrate you. For those of us who are called to stay and to be on the supporting, giving, praying, encouraging end, bless you. We celebrate you. It's not more spiritual to be in one group than the other, as long as we're responding to the call of God upon our lives, carrying out what he's called us to do, and fully participating. This task is too great for any one of us to do alone, and it's too eternal and important for any one of us to miss it. And so, join us. Maybe for some, you've never given to the Great Commission Fund before. Maybe you've never prayed a prayer for a missionary before. Maybe you've never offered any encouragement. Maybe tonight's the tonight for you to begin, to lean in more to what the Alliance family has been doing, is doing, and will continue to do. The task is unfinished, but we know there is a day going to come when the job is done. It's when our Lord returns with the blast of a trumpet and the loud command of the angel, and Jesus returns, and then we know we're done. But until then, we persevere, we press forward, and we continue to be this Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family on mission together. One of those friends of ours who has proven to be on mission together is Mark Ashton. Mark's going to come to us in just a moment from Christ Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska. So we're going to jump from Colorado to Nebraska tonight. But Mark is a much-loved member of the Board of Directors. And every time that I'm with Mark or Mark speaks, I'm always drawn in. My heart is enlarged to want to be more engaged in the things that are dear to the heart of God. So, Mark, I love you, and I'm turning it over to you.
Hey friends, Mark Ashton here from Omaha, Nebraska, the land of the College World Series, the world's best zoo, and thick, juicy steaks. Well, 1 year ago this month, I was in an African country we call Gold Kingdom. We left our missionary city to drive for 2 hours one Sunday into the bush. There was Pastor Othniel. He had graduated from our seminary in the bigger town and had been in this city for 1 year. 23 people gathered on the porch that day who had not heard the name of Jesus 1 year before. They sang with great joy, and I had the joy of preaching the gospel to them alongside one of our international workers. They said there were 23 on the porch and 20 more African believers in the field that day. Each one had moved from death to life because Great Commission Fund missionaries told the stories, trained the pastors, and extended the mission. That tiny slice was 43 people who were headed to a Christless eternity, now rejoicing with us forever and ever. Othniel told me he hoped this town would become a hub for dozens of churches. He pointed out the teenage boys in the town and told me who he had identified as future leaders to take the gospel to this area and hopefully reach thousands with the gospel before he dies. Today, I'm going to talk about unreached people. By that, I mean people who have never heard the good news of Jesus. People who have no opportunity to know the name that is above every name. And more importantly, why you must give generously and sacrificially to reach them. The matter is urgent. In fact, I think it may be the single most important thing that you do with your life or in your church. Now, we believe that we have the best news ever, don't we? I do. It's Jesus, our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and coming King. We honestly and truly believe that we've been saved from the shipwrecked, broken, disaster-ridden world by the work of the cross. We believe that we're changed from the inside out to look more like Him and for the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. We believe that Jesus cures our addictions, heals our diseases, binds up our broken relationships, and ministers to our deepest dysfunction. And we believe that Jesus is coming back, and that when He does, He will win, and everyone who trusts in Him will be with Him forever. Man, this idea of all of Jesus, Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, coming King, is for all the world. In fact, in a culture that speaks of injustice, perhaps the greatest injustice is gospel injustice. That some people get to hear this amazing news 100 times, while others never get to hear it at all. If this is the case, then the Apostle Paul becomes a great model for us. Hear what he says in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. I'm obligated to both Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That's why I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Now, let's look at that top phrase. I am obligated. Obligated. That is a heavy word. It's a must word. It's a word that compels action. Paul feels like he owes the gospel to a waiting world. You see, Paul has deeply internalized this all of Jesus message. He owns that message. And because he owns the message of the gospel, he owes the gospel to other people. He's obligated by the goodness and power of Jesus that flows through him, not just to give an offering, but to give his very life for the sake of the gospel. That's why he's coming to Rome. He'll stop at nothing, not storms, not prison, not shipwrecks or beatings or betrayals. He is obligated to bring the gospel. Now, who does he think he owes it to? Did you notice in the passage? Let's throw it up again with highlights. Yep, Greeks and non-Greeks, wise and foolish, Jews and Gentiles. So who is he saying? Well, Greeks and non-Greeks is everyone. Wise and foolish is everyone. Jews and Gentiles is everyone. Even Paul was in our churches, he might say, to all the Africans and non-Africans, or all the Mexicans and non-Mexicans, to all the smart and the dumb. He's likely getting a smile out of people at this point. Paul is obligated to everyone, and especially those who have never heard. You see, his philosophy is all of Jesus for all the world. And in Paul's day, nearly everybody was hearing the gospel for the first time. But certainly by today, there's not that many people left who haven't heard, right? Well, according to the Joshua Project, a tremendous website on unreached people on the planet, there are 3.2 billion people who are unreached. 3.2 billion. 42% of the planet. Imagine the scope of that. Now, 3.2 billion is just an outrageously large number. So let's try to put that into a more bite-sized group. Imagine one family, 4 people. They might live in Kazakhstan or Thailand or Libya or most likely India, the most unreached country on the planet. Maybe they offer incense every day to a local deity. Maybe they're thoroughly secular. Maybe they're devoted to their Hindu caste, but they've never even heard the name of Jesus. Imagine, never even heard. Not a radio broadcast, not an internet site, not a neighbor or a local church, nothing. If they wanted to know who Jesus was, they wouldn't even know somebody who follows him to ask. Of course, they don't believe because nobody's ever told them about the power of Jesus to save them, heal them, and give them hope. In this world, billions of people live and die without ever having heard. Imagine if they found out. Imagine if they found out that there's a message that guaranteed the resurrection from the dead and hope and forgiveness that's been around for 2,000 years and nobody ever came to tell them. That they stayed comfortable in their houses, their jobs, and with their families, but never made it to their neighborhood. 2 billion Christians in the world, and not one of them came to tell them. This is the great injustice in the world. And do you know what's crazy? When we do set aside people and money for missions, 99% of Christians' investment goes to the 58% of the world that already has access to the gospel. And can I just say that this is why I love the Christian and Missionary Alliance? 15 years ago, when I was grafted into the Alliance family, I was elated to discover that we will point the vast majority of our missions resources to places on the planet that are the least reached. The Great Commission Fund is unlike nearly all other denominational funds because it's sent towards missionaries that go to the least reached places. And here's the cool thing. Some of those places aren't unreached anymore. We've been at it for 130 years, and some places the gospel has taken root and transformed lives. And here's the awesome thing. When we reach a village, we identify a pastor. We train him up and put him in charge. Then we get a critical mass of pastors and we identify one to be a professor and he raises up even more pastors. Once they're self-training and self-replicating, they're encouraged to begin sending missionaries themselves and they become an independent movement. And they are better at reaching people, often more so than the Americans because they have lower language and culture barriers. It's a model that works and has reached millions of people across the globe. And we keep using it in community after community. One of those churches is led by Pastor Z. Pastor Z was in a city of 500,000 people that only had 2 churches for the whole city. In the 3 years since I had been there before, Pastor Z grew his church from 15 to 200 through conversion. He had 4 robust teenage boys and an adorable elementary school-aged girl. He started businesses to fund the church, and we supported him every step of the way. A couple months after we left, a radical Muslim terrorist group had kidnapped 2 of his boys. After weeks in captivity, through intensive prayer and the intervention of God, Pastor Z's sons were set free to return home. And Pastor Z is more passionate about the mission than ever. And his boys are planning to become pastors because they've seen the miracle working power of God. What a story. But there are still 3.2 billion who haven't heard. And we need individuals from reached nations to go to unreached nations. And maybe God is calling you to go. Maybe you want to learn Arabic or Farsi or Hindi or Urdu. Maybe you want to live on the other side of the planet so that some may know and a movement may grow. I'm praying that maybe God will raise up some out of this little internet message and that he won't just leave you alone until you obey. Maybe you know that that isn't for you, but you just have to be part. I know that's my story. I always thought I'd be on the front lines of missions, but it turns out that God led me different, so I use every chance possible to tell my team, every chance in the world to let people know about the state of the world, and to send resources to the least reached in the world. At our church, we can't help but give to the Great Commission Fund and to different aspects of our favorite missionaries. We bought Othniel a porch to meet with his church and Pastor Z a moto to start a business. We funded the building of his church building and we built a hospital just down the road. We took up an offering just a couple weeks ago for cancer meds for that hospital. We've built 3 clinics, 11 radio stations, and scholarshiped 75 local pastors to go to Bible school and reach the unreached, just like Othniel. I use every opportunity I can to get international workers in front of our congregation, and we give away 15% of our annual income to the Great Commission Fund and other Alliance ministries. You can do that today. You can make a gift, and every size matters, as does your heart. You want to give towards the most important endeavor in the history of the world? You want to give to something that matters way more than your local Christian radio or parachurch organizations or some school? The biggest mission field is also the most underfunded. Give to the greatest injustice in the world, gospel injustice. Give so that we can send one more person to one more people group, so that one more person can hear for the first time. You can do this by giving through a designated Great Commission Fund at your local church, or you can give at cmalliance.org/give. And may Jesus get all the glory as we have all the joy of taking all of Jesus to all the world.
Oh, Mark, my friend, thank you. Once again, you've challenged and inspired. You've spoken personally, spoken from the Word, and you've enlarged our hearts. And I think I speak on behalf of the Alliance family tonight when I say we want to join you in participating, giving, praying, encouraging, so that one more worker can be sent to one more people group, so that one more person can get to hear and believe in and love the name of Jesus. So, Alliance family, we are on mission together. We're bringing this to close tonight, but our theme is unfinished. And so while this evening concludes, our task continues. If you'd like to chat with one another, if you would like to engage further with our staff on the question and answer tab, you're welcome to do so. But sincerely, thank you for joining us tonight, from your couches and churches, from your student dorm rooms to your coffee shop. Thank you for engaging with us. We'll continue to do our best to serve together the Lord we love on the mission that he's called us to. Now, would you receive this word of benediction as we close? From 2 Corinthians. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.
The thing I appreciate, you know, some of you I know have met Reverend Stumbo, President Stumbo, and it's his heart. And when you see that, it resonates through there. And so I appreciate what he has to say. I'm going to invite Kevin and the worship team to come up. We're going to sing 2 songs in just a moment. But I want to, they said it on the video, and I just want us to understand, the word team came to mind. You know, he said, we're, as a family, we're all on the same team. You know, we're doing what they're doing, and we're a part of what's going on, though we weren't the ones necessarily there, and vice versa. We're all part of this Alliance team. And we have a privilege where we get to support some of those missionaries, and likewise, some of those missionaries are going to come in and share what's going on, but what's going on here too. And I'm just glad to be a part of that same team. I think that's really sweet. I think it's really cool. And the other thing, I wanted to highlight this, and because this is what I felt like was resonating through this, and it came through in our prayer time. If you're not aware, we gather for prayer with the worship team and the elders and such before each and every time we gather as a group, so we have a time to pray. And one of the people praying this morning used a word, and it just has kind of been echoing in my mind and my heart since then. It's a simple word. We've used it all the time, but it resonated again as we're watching the video, but it's the word hope. We all want something to hope for. Our country desperately needs something to hope in. And unfortunately, I think many are looking for that hope to come to fruition on Tuesday. You know? But we got a hope that's so much greater than the hope that we're looking at on Tuesday. And that's what the video is all about, is the hope. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. And when we have that hope in Jesus Christ, it's like, I just want other people to be able to have that hope. It's a gospel of grace. That's where the hope is. And so whether you're led to give or whether you're wanting to pray about that, whatever happens at this point, it's got to be moving forward for the gospel of grace, because that's where our hope is. That's where everyone needs to find a hope. And I just pray, come Tuesday, Lord, that you will help us, reveal to us, our minds and our hearts, that we need a desperate hope, and that hope can only be found in you. Let's worship together, and let's look at who that real hope is. And then we can give accordingly, because the Lord has laid it on us. Oh, Lord, you've given such a good hope. I just want to give that hope to other people. If you're led to give, you can give in either of those ways right now. If you mark it on your checks, whatever, leave it in those boxes. If you give online, that's all fine. My heart is for you to have your heart changed. And the Lord's going to take care of everything else that needs to happen.